They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A number of folks in our church family have been reading the Bible as part of one of our Immerse Bible reading groups. It's a wonderful addition to our education program. The participants read large sections of Scripture and then gather in reading groups to talk about what they've been reading. And they tell me this is a very enriching approach. They're getting a lot out of it, and our plan is to keep at it. And needless to say, if anybody else wants to take part of one of these groups, we'd love to have you join. Just let us know. What I like about the program is they are reading pages rather than paragraphs. When we hear the Bible in worship, we usually hear it in paragraphs. But when we sweep through a wider section of Scripture, we see more than if we had selected a single verse or two. This story of Bartimaeus, for instance, it sounds like any number of healing stories in the New Testament. The plot is fairly standard. There is a person with an illness or a disability. Jesus becomes aware of this person. After a brief conversation, Jesus heals the person. That's the standard plot. Problem, brief conversation, healing. But if you read more of the Gospel of Mark, you begin to see a lot more. Did you know, for instance, Bartimaeus is the second sightless person to be healed in this gospel? The first was in the village of Bethsaida, up north by the Sea of Galilee. They led that man to the Lord, and Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him out of the village and applies the standard healing practice of the day and then says, "Well, what do you see?" The patient says, "I see people, but not very clearly. They look like trees walking around." So Jesus has to touch him a second time, give him a second dose, and then the man can see. It's a curious story because Jesus has to give him a second whammy, a second attempt. And it's suggesting that Jesus isn't strong enough to heal him, but more it's suggesting that there are some kinds of blindness that persist. They linger. They're difficult to heal. And that story is back in chapter 8. Now, hold on to that for a second. By contrast, the story of Bartimaeus here at the end of chapter 10, and this time the sightless person has a name. He lives in Jericho in the oasis city down south. He begs for a living. This time, the people in the crowd don't lead him by the hand to encounter the Christ. Rather, the people in the crowd tell him to shut up, to be quiet, to be still. The blind beggar is known to them. He's sitting there. He hears Jesus is coming. He calls out at the top of his lungs. With Roman soldiers all around, Bartimaeus calls out for the Son of David. Now, that's revolutionary talk. That's Messiah talk. And there's a very good chance the Jerusalem and Jericho folk don't want any trouble. They tell him to hush. There are soldiers standing around. And then Jesus heals his sight, this time on the first attempt. Curious that if you see this sweep of this section of Mark's gospel, these two blind men are healed. The first led by the crowd, the second hushed by the crowd. The first needs extra help, the second needs no help, springs up, leaves his beggar's cloak behind. As Jesus moves from success to Galilee to the cross in Jerusalem, a good part of his ministry has been equipping people to see. There's the healing of the blind person in chapter 8, the healing of Bartimaeus in chapter 10. And the extraordinary thing is between the first healing and the second healing, the 12 disciples never see a thing. They just don't get it. They're caught up in that persistence, that blindness. And it's painfully obvious. Immediately after the first blind man is healed, Jesus says to the 12, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'll be arrested, I will suffer, I'll be killed. And the disciples say, oh, no, not you, that's never going to happen to you. And then it goes downhill from there. They see Jesus transfigured on the mountain, they stammer, and then they say the wrong thing. They have an opportunity to do a healing on their own, and they're inept. They can't do it. He catches them arguing. He says, what are you talking about? They're arguing about which one of us is the greatest. They try to stop somebody who's doing Christ's work, but he's not part of their own little group. They try to chase away the children that Jesus is blessing. They want to hold on to the notion that earthly riches will save your soul. They push and shove to get to the end of the line and declare their privilege. And then they argue about that too. In paragraph after paragraph, the followers of Jesus can't see a thing. I'm going to Jerusalem to give my life, to be a servant. And they don't get it. They can't see it. This is just a story about them. Someone was telling me about going out to dinner with a husband on Saturday night not long ago. Special celebration, they dressed up, she put on the pearls, they went to a fancy place, wine, appetizers, the whole thing. And the evening was ruined by an obnoxious woman seated at the bar. She was loud, she was rude. When the couple quietly complained, the waitress went over to tell the woman to tone it down, and she got louder and then obstinate, began yelling obscenities. The couple decided to leave after the woman finally fell off her bar stool and needed to be helped back up and was served again. That was Saturday night. Imagine their surprise the next morning when they go to church, open the hymnal to sing the first hymn, look across the aisle, and there she is, singing at full voice. At the door, they recounted the story, shook their heads, and said, some people just don't get it. Or some of you know, I spent last week with a group of mid-career clergy. As part of my responsibility to the wider church, I spend 2 weeks a year as a faculty member for a church conference on wellness. We delve into all the dimensions of what makes us human, what could make us well. Spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, vocational. It's a great program. I attended as a participant 6 years ago. But now, after serving as a staff member for 6 conferences, I've discovered, do you know why they do a conference on wellness? Because so many are not well. Faculty at the conference has seen it all, fractured relationships, estranged children, teenagers with drug problems, college students with eating disorders, spending out of control, going into debt, emotions spiraling in every dimension, up or down, serious obesity, anger management issues, loss of faith, and that's just the clergy. As one of my colleagues says, it's just like the congregations we serve. All of us have wounds and scar tissue. The thing that's so fascinating is the level of denial, the inability to see. Ask the woman whose credit score is shredded, and she says, I guess I should have paid more of my bills. Ask the guy with hypertension and diabetes who's carrying an extra 200 pounds. He says, well, I don't have a weight problem. It's astonishing what blind spots folks can have. And the only thing more astonishing is how easy it is to see the blind spots in other people when we can't see our own. Was that saying of Jesus, you know, first take the log out of your own eye before you see the speck in somebody else? So Jesus says, what do you want, Nicodemus? What do you want, Bartimaeus? What can I do for you? And the blind man says, I want to see. It's a remarkable request. He's been sitting on the street corner for a long, long time. Every day he parks himself in the same high traffic location. He rolls out the cloak to catch whatever cash people will toss him out of pity. He cries out for help whenever anyone passes by, and now he says, I want to see. He doesn't say, I want your money. He doesn't say, I'd like to eat. He doesn't say, I want your pity. He doesn't say, give me a little something so you can assuage your guilt, hurry by and put me out of your sight. He wants to see. And Jesus honors that request. Unlike the sightless person in chapter 8, we're never told if Jesus actually touches him, which is interesting because it seems to suggest that the desire to see is the first step in seeing. No more denial, no more begging, no more pathetic ignorance. With complete trust, with determined clarity to stop living as he was, he throws off the cloak that captures the pity donations and goes face to face with Jesus and says, I want to see. Anybody here want to see? It's a good question. Because the problem with seeing is then you can't pretend you didn't. As one of my Christian education professors said over and over again, once you wise up, you can't wise down. There's something transformative about being able to apprehend what's going on around you, within you, beyond you. Just picture the husband who decides to see that his wife has been drinking too much. He's had enough of the embarrassment of parties, had enough of the legal bills, had enough of the cops bringing her home after a DUI. He doesn't like that the kids hide from their mother, or that she blows off holidays, or that she shrugs off and argues about his concerns. He has decided to now see it, to really see it. And the question is, will he have the clarity and now the courage to take the necessary steps to improve the situation however he can, come what may? Or the school nurse who sees evidence of neglect or abuse. Or the accountant who has a client with dark secrets. Or the Christian who is weary of words of defamation and acts of violence and 100 ways that the Christian faith is twisted out of shape by people who don't look a thing like Jesus. You know, we live in odd times. Every day I open the paper, what's the oddness du jour? Clear vision is a rare gift. And one of the reasons why I think we assemble for worship on Sunday is We need one another to keep our vision from going out of focus. One of my teachers has been a Presbyterian minister who died last Monday. His name was Eugene Peterson. You've heard me speak of him before. You're going to hear me speak of him again and again, because that's the impact a teacher has on you. He was one who said a pastor should never serve a congregation that's so big that he or she doesn't know the names or the stories of his people. Which was, he was no fan of the megachurch, the bigger is better Christian thing in America. It's good advice, Christ-centered advice. And in his obituary in the New York Times this week, he also spoke and said, "American culture is probably the least Christian culture we've ever had, because it's so materialistic and it's so full of lies. The whole advertising world is intertwined with lies, appealing to the worst instincts we have. The problem is," he says, "people have been treated as consumers for so long that they don't know any other way to live. They consume stuff, they consume one another." What I think he's talking about is seeing people as children of God, not as commodities to be plundered. What he's talking about is loving every neighbor, not pushing them away. What he's talking about is treasuring this wonderful gift of life and not cheapening it in any way. What he's talking about is seeing one another and life as Jesus sees us. So Bartimaeus asks to see, to truly see. And as somebody notes right before this paragraph, two of Christ's own disciples have been wishing for status and privilege. Bartimaeus simply asks for vision. The first Jesus cannot grant, the second he'll give to whoever wants it. And then Bartimaeus is told to have courage. Exactly what he needs. That's what we need. For if his eyes are opened, he will see Jesus. And if he sees Jesus, he will have courage then to follow him, be like him. For do you remember how this story ends? Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way, all the way to the cross, because he could see him.